Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship hour this morning. We give you all praise and glory. And those that join us in the middle of that day, we thank you for them as well. As we come together this morning, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And let our hearts receive that understanding. Let that light shine upon our ways today. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the message of the Lord today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to speak on the subject today of God has the final word. And it's not over yet. No matter the situation that you find yourself in, when God is in that situation, even when the enemy has you cornered, it's not over yet. Praise God. You know, God always has the final word. God also always has one more move. Glory to God. God is always there in the corner with you. And as long as that's the case, well, then, you know, it's not over yet. The devil would like to taunt you that it's over. You know, there is nothing else that God can do for you. See where you are at. God has abandoned you. See your situation and so many other things that the devil would try to bring. But, you know, I want you to know that as long as God's with you in that situation, it's not over yet. And God will have the final word. Glory to God. And you also will have the last laugh. Praise God. Many stories in the Bible that I want to just touch on briefly. I've touched on these things before, you know, but, you know, here we go with some of these stories. The children of Israel and Moses, their backs were up against the wall, so to speak. You know, even after God had brought them out of Egypt, now they're trying to cross the wilderness, come up against the Red Sea. And it seemed as if they have nowhere to go. And the Pharaoh's chariots charging down behind them. And for sure they thought, well, we're going to perish here today. You know, they should have left us in Egypt. Were there no graves there? Some of them said. But now here we are to die here, you know, with our children and everything. Well, that's what they thought. And even Pharaoh thought the same thing. I've got you right where I want you. There's no place for you to go now. You were running away or trying to get away from me. But now, you're cornered with the Red Sea. There's no way for you to get through that. So he had all his armies and his chariots and everything trying to charge down against them. But the Lord had a plan. Yeah? God always has one word in that situation. Or any situation for that matter. And so the Lord, he kept the chariots and everybody, all the armies at bay with the pillar of fire. They couldn't get through it. Of course, on the other hand, God was going to pull out, you know, one of the most amazing miracles that we've ever seen in that Bible. The parting of the Red Sea. And in one move, one word from God to Moses, one instruction, the Red Sea parted, heaped up on either side, waves like a wall, water heaped up, and the dry land appeared. Ha! Glory to God. And the children of Israel instructed to pass on through, you know, and the Lord waited until all of them had passed through, you know. It took many hours, but they passed through. In the meantime, he kept all the chariots of Pharaoh at bay with the pillar of fire. And when the children of Israel were clean passed through, clean passed over, then he removed the pillar of fire. So they could charge forward. And so they charged forward because now they're going in for the kill, they thought. Well, no, they did not know was that God was suckering them in. So they went in for the kill, and the Lord waited until they were right in the middle of the sea, there was not going to be enough time for them to go back. There was not going to be time for them to quickly cross over. Right in the middle of the sea, Lord gave the word, bring the water back crashing down on them. And as the Lord had spoken through the mouth of his servant Moses that day, he had earlier said it, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more hereafter. And God brought that word. That was the final word. That's right. Praise God. God's final word in that situation for these Egyptians that you've seen today, you will see them no more hereafter. Remember, it wasn't just this day, but this was the final day. They had been in bondage and suffering for 400 years or more. But on this day, the final word would be, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more hereafter. Glory to God. That was the final word. Praise God. Well, let's look at a few more stories. A lot of interesting stories, many of which you know, but I just want to bring out the final word in each of their situations. Joseph, you know his story. No need to go through all of his story because you know it only too well. You know, however, let's look at what the final word was in his situation. And sometimes you have to take this final word, tie it back to a word that God already gave. It could even be years before. In the case of the story we just described, that word was given years before. In fact, hundreds, literally hundreds of years before. God was speaking to Abraham even before he had a child. He gave the word, and it will become the final word. And he said, look, you will have a child. You'll be the father of nations, you know, and all of that. But, you know, your seed will go down and be, you know, in bondage to a people and a nation and a country. And they will afflict them for 400 years. And then I will bring them out with a strong hand. And I will punish that nation. That was the word, and that was going to be the final word, you know, that will end all of their bondage and turn situation around. And he said, you know, when it happens, I'm going to bring them out with a high hand. Listen to this. Know of a surety, the Lord said to him, Genesis 15 and 13. That thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 100 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. That was the word, and it would be the final word eventually. Praise the Lord. And so God brought them out and destroyed all their nation, all their enemies in one day. Glory to God. Now, Joseph. What was the word, you know, that God had given him? Well, the Lord gave him, you know, some dreams, as you know, of, you know, how he would be greater than his brethren and things like that. And the devil would have none of that. And so, you know, all his brothers hated him and they could not, you know, they could not speak peaceably unto him, were told. And because even his father also did not help that situation, his father loved him, you know, made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren, when they saw that the father loved him more than all of them, they hated him and did not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, told it to his brothers, and they hated him even the more, you know, and then he told yet another dream and so on and so forth. You know the story. So they hated him. And when all the evil began to befall Joseph, and all his would-be destroyers were planning all those things against him, all the way to Egypt and thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit, and all of that, and the devil mocking him, say, well, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. Well, let's see what the final word would be. You know, he went through a lot. And while he was going through, there were many opportunities for him to have given up. But he stood steadfast, believed the Lord, his God. And he was also walking in the integrity of his heart. And he knew that, you know, his God would save him. Praise the Lord. You know, so there was come a time that Joseph found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Glory to God. And, well, he also found grace in the eyes of Pharaoh. And chapter 41 of Genesis chapter 41 came to pass after 2 full years, you know, after the butler had been restored according to the interpretation of Joseph, and he had asked, can you speak a word to Pharaoh in his ears, when you have his ears? Because this man was the one that would put the wine in Pharaoh's hands, and it was a cupbearer. And when to cheer him up, when he's cheerful, tell him about me, and maybe he'll have mercy on me. But the man forgot him for 2 more years. In any case, one day Pharaoh dreamed a dream as the time of the promise drew near for God to install Joseph in that place that God has set. Well, God allowed all these things to happen, and then Pharaoh dreamed a dream, and he couldn't interpret it, and nobody could. All these astrologers, the magicians, everybody, nobody could. And while they were looking, and the man was distressed, well, the butler finally remembered. And he said, well, I know there is someone I met while you were angry with me and threw me into prison with the baker. He interpreted our dreams one night, and it happened to both of us the way he interpreted it. Let my Lord fetch him, and he will interpret Pharaoh's dream. And so they fetched him. And when they fetched him, you know, it came to pass that when Pharaoh brought in Joseph, and Joseph stood before the man, Pharaoh, he gave the interpretation and also counsel on what needed to be done. Say, well, the Lord has showed you this thing twice because it's coming to pass. There's 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. The 7 years of famine will drown the years of plenty. You won't even know. Here's what you're going to do, and so forth. And, let's hear the final word after this. And the thing that Joseph said was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? But Joseph had given him counsel what to do and who to, you know, that he needs to appoint somebody that to oversee the plenty and save it for the time of want and famine. And he said, well, you know, you will be the man. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, you know, in this thing, you will be the one. He said, look, inasmuch as God has shown you this, there's none so discreet and wise as you. You will be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. That was the final word. And Joseph looked, and he began to think, wow, see what the Lord is doing here. And Pharaoh said again unto him, I have set you this day over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring. And that's the king's ring. And you don't do that. You don't put your king's ring on somebody else's hand. But he did, you know. And he put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. So somebody that just came from prison, and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And they made him ruler over all the land. And Joseph and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and you are Joseph. And without you, no one will lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. That was the final word. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. God had the first, and he also had the final word. That which God spake, he will watch over it, and he will fulfill it. And at the end, when everything even looked like it was all going to fall apart, God's word will come to pass. God had the final word. And see what God did in the life of Joseph with that final word. Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at a few other stories. There are several in the Bible where, you know, people thought it was all over. Didn't have, you know, an answer for the situation that they were in. And as you're listening to these stories, intent of them is for you to try to map them to your situation and see if, you know, God did all of that. Well, what's his final word for me in my case? The Holy Spirit will remind you. Glory to God. Now, let's see. Many more stories. There was a woman in 1 Kings chapter 17. You know, she was called a widow. Jesus would talk about her later. He called her the widow in Zarephath. You know, and she, you know, there's a lot of famine that had been going on. Elijah was part of the reason for all of that when he called for the famine. And, you know, everywhere there was no rain and people was, you know, suffering. This woman herself also was suffering. And she was about to die, you know, and she had a son. She was a widow. She had a son whom she held dearly to herself and said, look, you know, I don't know what else we're going to do, but, you know, let's just eat this meal together, this last meal. I'm going to just make it. We'll eat it. I'll embrace my son and I'll hold him in my arms until we die. That was her thought, you know, and, you know, she thought it was all over. But ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, it's not over yet until the Lord says so. And as long as God is in that situation, it's not going to be over until he has given the final word. There's always that one word that God's going to give will change everything. And in this case, well, the word was going to come through the prophet Elijah. And this woman, you know, the Lord has sent Elijah over there. And Elijah says to her, you know, can you get me something to eat and or something to drink or something to eat? Fetch me a little water, I pray thee. And while you are doing it, bake me a little cake as well. The woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I had nothing in the house except this last thing. I'm going to make this last meal for my son and I, and we're going to eat it. I'm going to embrace him, and we're going to die. That's it. I have nothing left. And Elijah said, well, today, nobody is dying. But hear the final word in this situation. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Glory to God. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the Lord would send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the word of the Lord. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil failed. I mean, there was only little thing that she had left, enough to just bake one piece of bread. You know, that's all she had left. But she kept taking out of it, and there was more. She kept taking out of it, and there was more. For many days to follow, we don't know how long it was after that. But still, you know, the Lord preserved her life. That was the final word. No one is dying today. And the situation that you thought was the end of the road, God was going to say, it's not over yet. Hallelujah. The Lord stepped in by the word, the prophetic word, that is able to change the situation. And remember, the word of God changed every situation. And in this case, changed the situation for that widow. Praise the Lord. There was yet another widow. Many of these stories in the Bible, there was yet another widow that was desperate. You know, I call her the desperate widow. Her husband was a good man, but, you know, the man had died and gone, and now she couldn't pay. You know, he was the breadwinner, of course, and the man's gone now. She couldn't pay her bills, you know, and, you know, she's going to become homeless and throw her out. And on top of that, well, they're going to take her kids away and make them bondsmen, slaves, in order to pay for the loan. And the big, well, whatever they had, which they couldn't pay, you know. So this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she came to the man of God and cried unto him. Well, you know, in any case, this woman had enough sense to cry to the Lord, but she thought it was over. A creditor has come to take away my sons to be bondmen. You know, and you know that my husband was servant of the Lord. He feared the Lord, but he's gone now. We have no means to pay a mortgage. We have no means to pay the things we own. And I'm about to lose my children. Huh? That was what she thought. But what was the final word in her situation? Huh? Glory to God. God always had something. And the word of the Lord through the mouth of the prophet, you know, said, well, here's what you're going to do. Tell me what you have in the house. She said, well, nothing. So think again. I'm sure you have something in the house. Said, oh, well, you know, I remember I have this little pot of oil somewhere. Well, Elijah said, well, that's enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever you have, no matter how little it is enough when God steps into that situation. Glory to God. It is enough. And the word was, go borrow vessels from your neighbors abroad. Borrow not a few, bring them to yourself. Shut the door, pour into one vessel, set it aside when it's full, pour into the next, etc. That was the beginning of the final word for her in this case. You know, and she went and did according to the word of the Lord and called her boys. How many pots we have in the house? I said, well, not very many. We only have a couple. Well, go to our friends and borrow some. Whatever for. Well, just do it. The word of God came to us by the prophet. So they went and borrowed. We'll bring them back. Just give us a few days. Can I borrow a pot? And on the next door, knock next door, knock next door. And and the woman said, bring me one at a time. And they brought her one. She poured the oil into that pot and set it aside. And she's looking and thinking, oh my goodness, what is this thing? What does this thing mean? She said, well, she looked at it because the oil that she poured was not even enough to fill that pot. But it did fill the pot. And she said, well, she cried to all the boys, bring me another pot. Don't bring two at a time. Just bring me one. She's not even sure how this thing will be. Well, she brought her another pot. She poured in again, and the thing was full. I said, oh, my goodness. Look inside the pot. Didn't look. The pot that she was pouring for wasn't even full, but the pot she was pouring into was full. Oh, my goodness. She said, bring me yet another pot. One by one by one until all the pots were filled. Then she cried unto the boys, bring me another pot. They said, there is no more. We are out of pots. And then, see, only then, the oil stayed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. Is your oil still running? Or has it stayed? Has it stopped running? See, it'll stop running when you have no more pots to bring to receive it. That's the only time. As long as she, you know, they kept bringing her a pot, she poured out and there was enough. Even though there was not enough. See, that's the thing. There was not enough, but then there was enough. And more than enough. See, that's the mercy and the great power of God in the final word. And the word to her was, go and do as I say. And she came and told the man of God, said, well, you know, I did as you said, and I got a house full of pots of oil now. And the man said, well, that's good. That's good. What are you going to do now? She said, well, I don't know. You know, the man said, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. Go sell these things, right? The money that you make from them, you know, you'll be able to pay your bill, get out of that debt, that fear that you're going to lose everything, it's over. And you will live on that money the rest of it. And she received instruction how to start even a business. She didn't know anything about it before. But God's final word saved the day. Praise the Lord. That's always something that God will give that will save the day. Praise the Lord. Well, there are many situations and stories in the Bible. Some of them are more dramatic, some less dramatic. Some to individuals, some to even the whole nation at times. You know, how God will do things. You know, and but when God, sometimes he would say something that, you know, it may look like it doesn't make sense at first. But that word will always come to pass. It's the final word, the situation when God wants to turn something around, turn the tables. He can do it, and he will speak a word like that, and it will change the situation. Now, there was a situation when Judah, Israel, you know, they had, they always had enemies, you know, that were always, you know, battling with them and so forth. And in this one case, the Syrians and everything had come against them, cut off their water supply, surrounded the city, barricaded the city so that none went out and none came in. And there was famine many days because, you know, if you don't have opportunity to receive more supplies, whatever supplies you have will run out. And their supplies ran out. And Syrians said, well, eventually, you know, we're going to use this tactic against them. When they run out of everything, they're going to come out begging for their lives, and they will capture them. They, you know, because they had strong, you know, they had these strong city walls and things like that that they put up. Nobody could break in. Well, I said, they will, of their own accord, open those gates unto us. When they run out of everything, you just hold here. You know, we will not let them go in. We will not let them come out. Eventually, they're going to run out of everything. And they will come out, and then we will capture them. You know, so, and that had been going on for a while. And one day, Elisha said, well, enough of this already. They come out of there, you know, say, hear ye the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Now, this was going to be the word in this situation. Where everybody thought, you know, by that time, you know, the prices had gone through the roof. Because, you know, when you are in scarcity like that, your people were ready to pay 10 times as much for whatever it was they needed as they paid before. Because, you know, there was no supply. And even though they were ready to pay that much, there may not even be anything to buy. And people were going to, of course, die. And we're going to, you know, this famine will kill everybody. Elisha's word, though, would change all that. The word of the Lord by the mouth of Elisha. Thus saith the Lord, he said, tomorrow, about this time, there shall be a measure of flour sold for a shekel. And two measures of barley. I mean, that's like, you know, well, it's hard for you guys to think of what a shekel, what measure, and all these things. Just think of something that's more contemporary. You know, that you can think of. I've given this example before. I said, well, think of it. Let's say, you know, gasoline is being sold for $5 a gallon. And think of it in those terms or whatever. And just say, well, tomorrow, you know, there will be so much abundance that gasoline will be sold for less than a nickel a barrel. You know, think of that. You know, maybe something that you're buying in the store today, you know, for $10 a pound or whatever, and say, well, tomorrow you're going to pay a penny a pound for it. I mean, you know, just something like that, that nobody could even fathom. It's, you know, unimaginable. You know, but he said it. And as long as he said it under the, you know, prophetic anointing like that, that's it. Put it out there, and that word is going to change everything. Will be the final word in this situation. Well, of course, be careful, because if you disdain that word, there was a man that disdained that word and said, come on now. I mean, look at where the situation we are in. Where are we going to get all that supply that things will become so abundant in the city by tomorrow? You know, that's not going to happen. Even if the Lord opens the windows of heaven, you know, I mean, who do you think we are? Are we to just talk like this? It's, you know, and Elisha said, well, because you have opened your mouth against the word of the Lord, this thing for sure will happen. You will see it, but you won't taste of it. And that's exactly what happened. And to, in order for the Lord to bring this final word to pass, both the good and the judgment, it was four lepers that he used in this case. Four lepers who were outcast from the city. You know, one day they, you know, thought to themselves, say, well, you know, that same one day, that same next day that Elisha prophesied this thing, they said to them, say, you know, the city, we can't go in because we are banned. We can't, you know, stay here. We would die. Well, let's just go to the camp of the Syrians. If they save us alive, fine. If not, well, we're not any worse off than we are now. So they took a chance and said, well, let's go forward. We know two things we know for sure. If we go into the city, we will die there. If we stay here, we will die. This one is unknown. Let's take a chance on the unknown. And they took a chance. Yeah? And the Lord, that, listen to this, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Elisha might be fulfilled, God began to orchestrate these things to the intent to bring that word to pass. As they went, these four lepers, the Lord began to do something. The footsteps of these four lepers, God changed them. Just four lepers. They couldn't even, I mean, they were just four. They couldn't do anything. But God made their footsteps come in to sound like thunderous hoofs of chariots and horses and different things. My goodness. You know, and the Syrians in their camp, they began to put an illusion on them. They began to hear all these thunderous hoofs of stuff coming and say, oh, these people have gone and hired the Egyptians or hired this against us and so on and so forth. You know, let's run for our lives. They ran, left everything. These people came there. These four lepers, they found that they're all over the place, went into one camp, they saw the things, said, well, they took some, when I hid it, they went to another, and said, well, look, you know, this is not good. Evil will fall upon us if we don't share this good news. So they went back and shared. And you know the rest of the story. Finally, the king sent people to go check it out. And it was so. When they checked it out, there was so much abundance because these Syrians had brought a lot of supply. They were going to take over the city and leave there. You know, brought a lot of supply with them. It wasn't, they were not just thinking of, you know, fighting a battle. If you're going to fight a battle, you don't bring all that supply. They were thinking of invading the place and living there. So they brought a lot of things. And those things turned around, became the spoil for all the people that came. And as God will have it, the king said, okay, well, you know, there's going to be a mad rush here. So we need to control the people going in and out of the gate. So he set in command the man that had said to Elisha, if the Lord would do this thing, would it even happen from the windows of heaven? Set him in charge. Yeah, he was the, you know, chief of army staff or chief of staff or something. He had the king's ear. And so when the people were going in and out in the mad stampede, you know, they knocked him over and trampled him down, and he died, according to the word of the prophet. And he did not see that thing which the Lord said. Now, when the Lord gives a word that for sure is coming to pass, be sure in your heart that you don't despise it, because the word will come to pass. And the person that despises it is the one that will not get it. That is coming to pass anyway. And that was the final word. It was the word that God spoke in that situation, and it changed the story Praise the Lord. And so many other stories like that throughout the Bible. There were situations that people were up against a no way out. There was a no way out. Praise God. And God will give a final word. In some cases, it was a word that he gave to the people themselves. In other cases, it was a word that God spoke to an angel. Go down there and take care of the situation. Whatever it was, God would always give a word. You know, there was a story of Jehoshaphat and the three armies that outnumbered him in 2 Chronicles 20. You know the story. Ammon, you know, and Mansia and the rest of them, you know, they come up against him and completely outnumbered him. And they were afraid. But there were millions and they only had a few hundreds. But the word of the Lord came and it was going to be the final word. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, the word of the Lord will come. A young prophet and said, these armies that you see made you to fear. Fear them not, but go down tomorrow. You will not even need to fight. The Lord will take care of it. And you shall hold your peace and you see the salvation of the Lord. My goodness. That was the word. And it came to pass exactly. How did the Lord do it in this case? Well, he put a delusion upon those armies. You know, Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. You know, two by two, they started to fight their allies thinking that they were Israel. And then two of them combined together, faced the other one, killed that one, destroyed them all. And then when they finished, they turned against, you know, one another and destroyed another as well. And, you know, meanwhile, the children of Israel, they were just singing praises. Jehoshaphat appointed singers and praisers unto the Lord. And when they began to sing and to praise, you know, that word that the Lord has said that you will not need to fight, but God will take care of it, you know, brought that delusion upon the people and they began to utterly slay and destroy one another, thinking that they were fighting Israel. Confusion, delusion upon them. And that word brought victory to the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. I can go on and on with all these stories where God would, you know, have a word that would bring deliverance to his people in situations. You know, sometimes it was something that he already said before and he would bring it again. Yeah, and sometimes it would be something else that he would say. Sometimes the devil is scheming evil. There's a story in Esther chapter 6, first 12 verses or so. The whole story is throughout, scattered throughout the book of Esther. And Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who wouldn't bow down to the man the king had promoted, the Jews, they're not going to do that. Yeah, a real Jew will not bow down to anybody but the Lord, their God. They wouldn't do it. And so Haman was furious and was looking for ways to kill him. His friends told him, yeah, you're going to kill this man alone? You need to send a message. Kill all the Jews. So he was trying to do it. But you know how the Lord, he turned the situation around. You read this story. If you haven't, well, read again in Esther chapter 6. You know, there was a word, a final word. In this case, it came from the mouth of the king, you know, to turn everything around. Yeah. How did the Lord start it? Well, one day, the Lord sent an angel of the Lord down there to go trouble the king so he couldn't sleep. That's right. Took away his sleep from him. They go down there and trouble the man. He wouldn't be able to sleep. So trouble his sleep. Couldn't sleep all night long. He had minstrels that were playing music to him, but still couldn't sleep. The Lord took his sleep away from him. So they tried everything to get him to sleep. He couldn't sleep. He said, okay, well, bring me something to read, he said. Something to read. They could have brought him anything to read, anything at all. The angel of the Lord guided them on what to bring. They brought the Chronicles to read. And he brought him and said, this is what I needed some easy read. He said, well, you know, this will be easy for you, King. You read it. So he said, okay. And as he was about to read, the angel of the Lord took over, opened that place. You know, he could have read anything. Those Chronicles were large. But when he opened, the place he went to was something that had happened, where Mordecai had saved the king a couple of times from a plotted coup attempt and given instruction and caused the king to escape. And they captured those people. And as the king was reading, he was looking to see the reward that was given to this Mordecai. And he found nothing. And he said, oh, hold on now. And he asked the chamberlains, he said, you know, this thing that happened here. He said, yeah, we remember it. Was there any reward given to this man? I said, no, nothing. He said, why not? I said, well, we don't know, but it wasn't. I said, okay, all right, I'm going to think what I'm going to do. And in that moment, as he was thinking it, remember, he couldn't sleep. It was all night long. But this time around, it's now morning, early morning. And, you know, Haman are coming to ask for the life of the Jews. They want to kill them all. So King says in his heart, well, I gotta do something for this Mordecai. It's time. Who is in the courtyard? Why are you looking for somebody in the courtyard? Why don't you just send one of these chamberlains that are already standing here in front of you? You know, I said, no, who is in the courtyard? In the meantime, this man came in at the exact moment. And he said, Haman. Haman is the honored, person in the kingdom. I said, yeah. I said, trusted man, bring him in. So they bring this man in. King says to me, how you doing? So, well, King, you know, I said, well, good. I said, well, hold on now. Before you say anything, the man wanted to say, hold on. The king wants to honor somebody. What do you think I should do? Haman's thinking in his mind, who else can he honor other than me? You know, I'm the only one that has been invited to the queen's banquet. I'm the only one that has been done this and that. So he begins to say, well, okay, here's what the king must do in order for, you know, if he wants to honor somebody. He said, well, let the royal apparel, which the king used to wear, let it be given to that man to wear. Are you kidding? The king's royal apparel? Because he's thinking it's for himself. And bring the horse that the king rides. Bring the chariot that the king rides. And let the crown royal, even the king's crown, let it be set upon this man. Really? And even the ring, you know, and the ring's authority of the king, let it be given to this man. And let him bring him throughout the city and proclaim that everybody should bow the knee to him. This is how the king is going to honor the man in whom he delights. I mean, he just piled it on. Well, the king says, is that it? Are you finished? Say, yeah. Say, yeah, that's it. Let the king do this thing as I have spoken. This is good counsel. Because all the while he's thinking that it is he that is going to be the recipient of all this honor. Well, and the king said, well, that has well spoken. Now, you know, see to it that there be nothing diminished of all that you have spoken, and go do it to Mordecai. Anytime, I can't get enough of this story anytime I read it. You know, not only will the Lord set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, it will make your enemies serve you on that table. Glory to God. And God changed the story. And it was the final word. The word of the king. He actually took the word of the enemy of the man and turned it around, made it the final word. God changed the tables, turned the tables around. And this man who would be an assassin and a destroyer of all the Jews became the source of their exaltation. Because out of his mouth, the very words that he spoke was what the king said. That's it. Right there. You said it. You go do it. And he had to go proclaim this thing to Mordecai, and he was in shame. And he said, well, and his friends told him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews that you are trying to destroy, you are finished. That was the final word. You will not prevail against him, seeing that this thing has now happened. That was the final word. The devil thought he had Mordecai and all the Jews cornered, because this man was a highly promoted man that was in a kingdom, was going to get favor from the king to destroy them all. But God's final word was change that story and put the situation around. And God can do that. And many more stories, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it comes directly from the voice of God, from the word of a prophet, you know, sometimes when it comes even from prayer. There was a time when Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12, you know, and Herod thought to bring him out and kill him, because he'd taken James, killed him, and everybody was, all the Jews were happy. But they didn't like all the preaching of these apostles anyway. So he thought that, well, you know, kill James, people are happy, I'll kill Peter also, put him in prison, hoping to bring him out in a few days and kill him before all the people. But this time around, you know, the saints, the church that was taken by surprise the first time around, they were not taken by surprise this time. Thank God there was some space, because they put the man in prison thinking to bring him out in a few days. And the church got out together to pray. And this time, God would send an angel. He would send an angel to change that situation. Peter was doomed. He was condemned. He would die in a couple of days. The man would bring him out, kill him before everybody. And the whole city would rejoice at their killing. And these crazy people, they love to see people killed. They love to see people thrown to the lions. They love to see all these kind of things. And but the Lord sent an angel. He said, go down there and get Peter out of there. Praise God. Go get Peter out of that prison. That's all the angel needed. And said, you know, some people have prayed and I've heard. Now you go down there and see to it. And the angel went and busted him out of that prison, boy. Praise God. You know, so, you know, devil thought he had him, going to bring him in, kill him and everything before the people. But no, you can't do that, you know. And last but not the least, I'm cutting off some of these stories. Let's talk about Jesus himself. Glory to God. Because you can't talk stories like this without bringing Jesus in. Jesus himself, you know, when the devil thought, I got you where I wanted you, you know, got the people all riled up and everything, even planted someone, you know, within his organization, planted Judas in there. Devil did. Jesus knew it, but he said, well, fine, you know, I'm going to use him for my purpose. And after Jesus was betrayed and everything, and they were crucified him and everything, they would say, yeah, I got you where I want you now. You know, put him in the grave, put the rocks over him, roll the stone over him and everything, put guards in place to make sure he doesn't come out of there. Because, you know, you heard, yeah, this saying that he's going to rise from the dead. You make sure that doesn't happen. Set a watch. Yeah, devil told Pilate and the rest of them, set a watch. Make sure it doesn't come out there. So he set a watch. All these soldiers, because, you know, his followers might come and steal his body and say he was resurrected. So make sure it doesn't happen. Well, now that was what the devil thought. But graves cannot keep him down. Glory to God. Death could not keep him down. You know, it was not possible that death could hold him back. We're going to blast out of that grave. Because that was the final word. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it again. And that would be that final word. And before he did, before he came out of that grave, boy, he went down and whooped the devil. Glory to God. From pillar to post. And took captivity captive. All the people that were in, you know, in the devil's prison. From the time of Noah and all of them. Took them captive. Broke the chains of captivity. Got the keys of hell from and death from the devil. Come out of that grave, boy, with power. Ah, and the devil, you see, I say, wow, my goodness, if you had known, well, you should have known. You can't hold him down. He's a prince of life. Come out of that grave. Ladies and gentlemen, there are enough stories in this Bible to let you know that God always has the final word. And the devil cannot keep you jammed in. Now, your situation today, let's take a look. What's your situation today? Well, you know, whatever it is, whatever you got going on or not going on, the devil may be gloating or whatever. He may think he got you in a corner. But as long as God's with you, it's not over yet. There's a word that God has actually spoken to you before. See? The Holy Spirit is going to remind you now through this lesson that will be the final word. Not what the situation looks like today. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God's word that he spoke to you, glory to God, he's going to make it happen. Now, all that God is waiting for, actually, not God this time, the angels, they are the ones that are waiting. Because God already gave them instructions. And what was the instruction that he gave them? Well, read it for yourself. In Psalm 103 verse 20. There are different categories among angels. There are some of them that are trained for special missions. They're the elite forces. And God had trained them and given them their orders. He said, look, you know, this and this and this and this is what you're going to do. They're called ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of the children of God. Hebrews chapter 1. And so God gave them instructions and said, look, you know, I've already given them my word. But see, God, God has principles. There are principles in heaven. You know, heaven walks by principles. You can't just do things anyhow. You know, when God's word has been spoken, that word may remain dormant until somebody activates it by faith. So God already spoke the word. He said, well, you know, the angels come and say, how long, Lord? How long until your child? I mean, look at what they're going through. I said, well, I already spoke my word. But here are your orders. When you hear her declare my word in faith, then you go down there and see to it. He said, the angels that excel in strength, what do? You know, they do his commandments. They have their orders. And what are the commandments? They hearken to the voice of his word. Where is that word going to come from? Your mouth. When you speak that word that God already spoke, the angels say, yeah, that's it right there. And they go into action to do it. That will be the final word in your situation. But you got to speak that word. You got to say, be it unto me according to thy word. And once you say, the angel said, I'm done here. He took off. The moment Mary said that, he took off. The whole time he was trying to convince her, but that was a very strange situation. Nobody ever knew that Isaiah 7:14 meant literally that God will literally make a virgin conceive. People read it, but nobody believed it or even thought it could happen. Because, I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? But, so the angel was trying to convince her. And all he had to do was try to convince her to get her to believe God's word. And same thing that we preachers do. It's what I'm doing here today. Yeah, all I got to do is get you to believe God's word. The word that he already spoke to you. You know, so God already told you. You know, but situations causing you to doubt. God already told you you're going to pass over to the other side, but the storms are coming against you to make you doubt the word that God already spoke. Jesus said it. It's passed over to the other side, and then the storms arose and try to blow you and destroy you out of that water. But Jesus already said it, so he's just going to sleep. He's not bothered about it because he said it already. And so, what is the word that God already spoke to you? And maybe it was last year. Maybe it was the year before. Maybe it was this year. Whatever word he gave you, his word is forever settled in heaven. And the angels, they have their orders. You know, one time I saw God, to, you know, parable. I was like, God speaks to me in these parables. And I said, well, do something. The angels, he said, well, I can't do anything. Said, why not? He said, well, I have my orders. Now, what are your orders then? Said, well, I have my orders. You can't get the angel to do anything. Yeah, I have my orders. Well, but do something. I mean, look at the people. Do something about it. He said, well, I have my orders. What are your orders? I said, well, I have my orders. And he just kept saying, I have my orders, until I found out that his orders were given in Psalm 103, verse 20. He's waiting for the word out of your mouth. Now, when you release the word that God already said, then the angels, that's their cue. They got their orders, and that's it. That's the trigger right there. So, ladies and gentlemen, there was a word that God gave you. It will become the final word. But you got to partner with God in this thing. Angels are waiting in the wings, waiting for you to release that word. Now, remember what we taught you in the amen pronunciation. You must affirm God's word. Not your word, not what you think, not what the situations around you look like, but what God already said. God already said something to you. You got to affirm that word. That's right. You got to speak the same word that God already spoke. That's how you do it. You can't do it any other way. And then you got to mean what you say. I mean, Jesus said, these people speak to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from it. Well, you can't. If you do it like that, it's not going to work. You got to mean what you say. You know what you're saying and you mean it. You say it with conviction. Just, you know, say it and hope. No, you say it because you know so. Now, well, then what do you do next? Well, you expect it to be just like you said. Look for it. If you already said it, then look for it. You're waiting for that thing, then go open the mailbox. Glory to God. You know, you got to go look for it. You know, somebody told you, you know, one day the Lord explained this to me. You know, it's a simple matter. You know, waiting for something, and I got a note, Amazon delivery or whatever, that, you know, your package has been delivered. But I looked outside and I didn't see the package, but they say it's been delivered. So what do I do? It's a package that I'm looking for. Well, I got to look everywhere. I look behind the chair in the front, look behind the pillar in the front and see if they put it there. They didn't put it there. So, well, but they say it was delivered. So I got to look for it and say, oh, maybe they put it in the mailbox. Well, you got to look for it because you're expecting it. And so I went and looked in the mailbox and lo, it was there. Praise God. You know, God is delivering some packages to you. One time we were in this room and I saw some packages falling. I said, well, you got to get up and grab yours and look inside. There's something, you know, that God has sent. He delivered the package, but you got to get up and get it. Yeah, it may not be in the front yard, maybe in the mailbox. I don't know where it is, but you got to get it. If you're expecting it, then look for it. Hallelujah. And then when you are doing that, nothing doubting. Let know the person that doubts not think he will receive anything from the Lord. If you are able to carry out these processes, then God's word will become final in your situation. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to leave it there, you know, for you today. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the word again that was released unto us today. Same things we've heard before, but you said the Holy Spirit will remind you, bring to your remembrance those things which I already told you. Thank you, Lord, or bringing into our remembrance. There are people in here today that God already told you what he was going to do for you. But the moment God told it to you, everything went sideways. The moment he told you are passing over to the other side, all the storms and hell broke loose. The moment Moses went and told the children of Israel were getting out of here, their situation got even worse. Pharaoh said, let there be more burdens laden upon the people. And so that's been the situation for some of you. God told you, you know, what he's going to do for you, and then devil heard it and made your situation worse. But ladies and gentlemen, I declare unto you by the word of the Lord today that God has the final word. And that word which he spoke will come to pass. According to the book of Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 25 and verse 28. Said, the word which I have spoken shall no longer be delayed, but it will come to pass. As I have spoken it, said the Lord, so will it come to pass. All he needs is for you to get behind that word and speak the same thing. May the Lord grant understanding to the people that are in the house today, that we may rise up and let faith arise in our heart to speak the word of God. Not what we think, but what God already said. Stay with it and expect it, nothing doubting. We thank you, Lord, and we are looking for that. Looking for it. Hallelujah. And your expectation shall not be cut short. And no matter what you are going through today, according to the book of Proverbs 28:3 and verse 18, scripture says that surely there is an end. And your expectation shall not be cut off. There is an end to this problem and this situation, and it too shall pass. And you must declare the word of God, and God's word will be final. At the end of the day, what God already said will come to pass. Just because God said it, you believed it, you repeated it, you're declaring it, expecting it, nothing doubting, it shall come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.